But, okay, we're going to continue on in Romans. And we're at the end of chapter 16, which is the end of the book. And Paul is wrapping up, which is really his postscript to the letter. He's been dealing with some specific issues addressing people, mentioning people that are there in Rome and people that are with him, mentioning some specific concerns that those in Rome may have in dealing with evil men and infiltrators and those that would do them harm. And then Paul again brings to a conclusion the letter and the postscript. As he said in verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Paul speaks of those things made manifest. Again, they're made manifest in the writings of the prophets. They're made manifest in the coming of Jesus Christ. They're made manifest as the Lord's pleased to use us and his preachers to proclaim those things. And finally, he's made manifest and truly made manifest as those things are revealed by the Spirit to the heart. Not apart from the Word, but in accordance with the Word. Not apart from the Gospel, but in accordance with the Gospel. Not apart from the writings of the prophets, but in accordance with the writing of the prophets. You know, this is the measure. And we always have to come back to that, because we live in a day and age, you know, folks will say, you know, well, I feel like I was led to do this. I feel like God spoke to me and said, well, if it's not in accordance with the book, then we'll get even more as the Lord's beginning to lead us. I think we'll eventually be starting over in Galatians. And Paul talks about that, you know, though we are an angel from heaven, come down and tells you things different than the book. They don't receive those things and don't receive those people because they intend you no good. But now, Paul says, now these things are made manifest. Again, they were made manifest. The beginnings were made manifest in the writing of the prophets. But in these latter days, God has made these things more clear and has revealed them in his Son and then revealing them to the heart. And again, in verse 26, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to the obedience to all nations for the obedience of the faith. So God in these last days made these things manifest in his sons. He made them manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. He made them manifest by revelation of those scriptures. He made it manifest by the proclamation of those scriptures and the proclaiming of the gospel. And again, he made those things manifest by the Holy Spirit. And we looked at last week, we looked at the Ethiopian eunuch, and again how God brought these things together and manifest those things. The eunuch's reading the scriptures, and he sends Philip out there, you know, to explain those things and set them forth. And the Holy Spirit works within the heart and life of the eunuch and brings him to faith in Christ. Well, at least if you got a King James Bible. I don't know exactly what happens if you got an NIV or whatever. You know, he decides it was a good idea to do something, but he didn't necessarily have to believe nothing, I guess. But that's a whole other matter that we already addressed. Okay, so picking up again in verse 26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Acts 10:43 tells us, to him gave all the prophets witness. Brethren, the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And if you read that and miss that, and you miss the whole point. The Old Testament, again, the Jews are blinded. But the Bible is about Jesus Christ. To him, Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. The whosoever believeth in him are the elect. They are the ones that are believing. The believing ones. It's not throwing it to, you know, to human choice or human nature. It's a description of those. They're the believing ones, and they believe because they're given faith by Christ. They're given, in fact, the scriptures speak of, we're given the faith of Christ. Again, Paul before Agrippa, speaking of his ministry in Acts 26 and verse 22, said, having therefore obtained of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Now, they hadn't yet come at that time, but what Paul is proclaiming is what the prophets say would come. It's what Moses said would come. And in verse 23, he gets specific as he continues on. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses said should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. That's pretty important stuff. That's pretty heavy stuff. He would be the first that would rise from the dead and should show light unto the people. And then get this, because this is all tied into this and what Paul's job is, if you will, Paul's ministry and what his book to the Romans is about, and that he should give light unto the people and to the Gentiles. It was intended all along and it was there, but they didn't see it. You know, these dirty Gentiles. Certainly they, God don't, couldn't have anything to do with them. He sure certainly couldn't include them in his people. But it was there all along. Again, Paul's affection for the saints in Rome and for the Gentiles there and embracing this ministry he'd been given of God. Even though at one time in his life, certainly, he didn't even much care for the other Jews that weren't Pharisees like him. Much less for the dirty Gentiles. In Galatians, Paul says, in Galatians 3 and verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. I mean, it was a mystery, but it's revealed. But it's not completely made manifest until these latter days. And again, part of it's the ministry of Paul. Part of it's our own ministry. Of course, we're included in the heathen, if you will. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Not just the nation of Israel. But in thee shall all nations be blessed. These things that were set forth in Scripture by the prophets. And why and how. And again, as Brother Hal alluded in his sermon as well about God's sovereignty and the everlasting covenant. And Paul, in the next phrase here back in Romans 26, he says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Brother, everything is according to the commandment of the everlasting God. But in particular, the salvation of his elect, the salvation of his people, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. God had determined that these things would be so. The commandment of the everlasting God. Now, and again, where are these commandments set forth? And who is it that's being spoken of here, the everlasting God? Well, in Matthew 28, we see the commandment of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, and verse 18, as he told his apostles, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, was this a mere man? He got all power in heaven? You know, as unbelievers and those who call themselves Christians amongst the liberals today. You know, he's a good man. Now, he's got all the power in heaven. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It's all according to His commandment. It's all according to the commandment of the everlasting God. It's all according to His commandment alone, because His commandment alone is sovereign. God's everlasting decree, God's everlasting covenant. You know, what a glorious thing to rest, our peace, our rest, our hope. Not that we understand it all, you know. That's why our little pea brains, and you can get into systematic theology, and you break all this stuff down, and you talk about, you know, the decrees of God, and the order of the decrees, and that. Brother, it's one everlasting, eternal thing that we just can't get our little pea brains about. So we get theologians, we break these things down. We got the decrees of God and the order in which they happen. But in eternity, how does order work in there? I don't understand all that. But I can trust in it. According to the commandment of the everlasting God. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, as we read back in Acts, it says that it was determined that he should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise again. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's some pretty heavy stuff. No, to the disappointment of my friend that's been writing me about Romans, I don't have it all nailed down. I can't get my head all around that. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, John 17, the Lord said, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. As they didn't give themselves. We didn't give ourselves to the Lord. The Father gave us to the Lord. He gives eternal life to those that were given to him. And so, God will always make a way. From the human perspective, it'll say, well, through all the trials and bends and turns and twists, God's made a way. In reality, God makes his eternal decreed way. I mean, those bends and turns and roadblocks and everything, that was part of it from the very beginning. And so Paul's point, I think, is here is that my gospel, my life, my work, they're all in accordance with God's commandment, in accordance with the commandment of the everlasting God. And that commandment is manifested in the preaching of the apostle. And it's manifested in the work that he gives to all of us children. And again, Paul always brings this point back into it. A part of that everlasting covenant, of that eternal decree, of that commandment by the everlasting God, is that this would go forth not just to Judea, but throughout all the world, to all the peoples, in accordance with the everlasting decree of God. Now, interesting, Brother Dale thinks when Paul speaks here of the commandment the everlasting God, that he's speaking of one particular incident in the life of Paul that we find recorded over in Acts 13 in verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now that commandment that Paul received, he received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying here, which is certainly true as we read throughout the scriptures, that Jesus Christ is the everlasting God. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the everlasting God. We read in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. Jesus Christ is the Everlasting God. In Micah, the prophet writes, Micah 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Okay. This babe that was born there in Bethlehem, his goings were from old, from everlasting. Brother, that's the message the world needs. That's the only messages that the world can receive unto salvation, is that Jesus Christ is the everlasting God. He is the one that was from everlasting. Paul in Hebrews says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 5 and verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He's speaking there of Jesus Christ. His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God. It's a wonderful thing. And I mean wonderful more than, you know, great and neat. I mean wonderful. It causes wonder in our minds. This is the true God and eternal life. The Lord gave testimony during his ministry who he was. And unless he's embraced for who he is, then he's not truly embraced at all. John 8, the Lord said in verse 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I'm from above. Now, that's not too hard to understand. You see, but all the liberals and all the folks that want to say, oh, he was a great teacher, he was a good man, he was, well, he may have been all those things, but he was a whole lot more than that. And he said to them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? See, flesh and blood doesn't reveal that to you. Just like he said, Peter, who do men say I? Oh, he says, unless you believe that I am, and that's literally the rendering of what he said, unless you believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. I said, Who are you? Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Continuing on in that same chapter down in verse 56. Again, speaking to his detractors, the Lord said, Your father Abraham, their father after the flesh, because they were Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Again, the testimony of the prophets. Now, I'm sure that they were like, wait a minute. Our father Abraham rejoiced to see your day? You're just a young fellow. What are you talking about? Well, it became obvious pieces fell in place and they didn't like it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, Art not yet 50 years old? And hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Don't you? That gives you kind of goosebumps. It probably gave them goosebumps, but not in a good way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Well, they didn't know who he was, but they knew who he was saying he was. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The Jews understood who the Lord claimed to be, and they just as certainly rejected him because it had not been revealed to them by the Father in heaven. Jesus said, Except you believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. The Jews knew who that meant and what that meant. I've tried before, it's a waste of time, usually, trying to talk to these JWs or whatever. But I've tried to take them through this before, and they'll just hem and haw and stammer and come up. I says, Jesus, unless you believe that I am, you'll perish in your sins. Well, of course, they don't like that. They can't accept that because they deny that he is I am. In Exodus 3, verse 14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Well, the Jews were at least honest enough to acknowledge who the Lord was saying that he was. You know, the modern liberals and the JWs and so forth, they try to twist language and so forth and deny that he ever claimed that. It's incomprehensible. Language means something. Words mean something. He said, I am! Except you believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. So this commandment of the everlasting God is the commandment of Jesus Christ. That this gospel would be made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, or for the obedience of the faithful, for the obedience of the elect. This gospel would go forth and God would bring all his elect to himself. And then Paul concludes, and we're to the last verse. I don't know if we'll just wrap it up here and go on with something next week, or if I'll bring and maybe do an overview. Just 1 week. of Romans, maybe next week, we'll see. But in verse 27, Paul concludes with a doxology, with a prayer, with a praise. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ. Glory unto the eternal Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit through the work of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the one that manifests, that makes known. He is the eternal Word, and the Logos. And the Word was made flesh. You see, all these things, I can't get my little pea brain all around it, but, you know, I can understand it, what words mean. And so, you know, you either accept those things, or why bother with the book? Why pretend it Christianity? And yet more and more we see the world with that kind of attitude. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ. Jude says in Jude verse 25, to the only wise God our Savior, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. To the only wise, to God only wise, and God's wisdom is the only true wisdom. Now, Brother Pruffel was bringing up this debate. Brother, you know, God's wisdom is the only true wisdom. All these scientists have got everything figured out, and then the next day they come up with something new. And all that changed. And it's different. And, you know, first the world's a billion years old, then a million, and they say, oh, no, really, 10 million. And then it's, they come up something new every day. There's only one wise, and that's God. Romans 11, Paul said earlier in this same book, Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. Paraphrasing, I can't remember, it's been attributed to different folks. I think Bob Jones and others, but they talked about the wisdom of, you know, the old woman out there in the Appalachian Mountains with this book. You know, compared to all the wisdom of the world, she's got more wisdom than all these PhDs and these other brilliant folks that want to debate and question and. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? To the only wise, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Now, throughout the endless ages, God's going to be glorified through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's going to be glorified through His people. Glorified by free grace. We sang about grace today too. By free grace. And then Paul says, amen. Amen. Which, again, so be it. So shall it ever be. Amen. And then most of your King James Bibles has a subscription down there. And those subscriptions are not a part of the original writings. And they can't always be trusted as being accurate, because some of them clearly are not. This was not part of Paul's writings. This was later on added, you know, by translators and so forth. But it says, written to the Romans from Corinthians and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church of Caesarea. And in this case, yes, it accords with what the book says. It accords with what we've studied here. It accords with the time frame, and it accords with the book of Acts. And thus ends the book of Romans. after 10 years or however long it's been. And again, maybe we'll just do a brief overview next week, or maybe I'll go on to some other things as the Lord leads. It's been, I could start all over again and not hardly say any of the same things I already said. I'm sure I'd learn something totally new, but we're going to go on to a somewhat related book, the book of Galatians, Lord willing, at some point when I'm ready to go on there. In the meantime, we'll maybe touch on some other things and go on from there. Okay, let's take our hymnals, and we'll stand and sing the closing hymn together, number 309. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, God's decree, number 309. This song wasn't really planned, well, except in eternity. But,
Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all thy times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. His decree who formed the earth, fixed my first and second birth, parents' native place and time, all appointed were by him. He that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. Times of sickness, times of health, times of penury and wealth, times of trial and of grief, times of triumph and relief, times the tempter's power to prove, times to taste the Savior's love. All must come and last and end, as shall please my heavenly friend. Plagues and death around me fly, till he bids I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit.
Oh, Father, we thank you for this day. We, Lord, thank you for your servant Paul, whom you used to set forth your very words in the book of Romans. We thank you, Lord, for his preservation as we were able to study it through the years. We thank you, Lord, for those things you taught us. And yet, Lord, we know there's so much yet to learn. We pray, Lord, that you might continue to teach us from all of your word, including the book of Romans. Father, we thank you that you are the God only wise. We thank you, Lord, that our Savior is the everlasting God, and that all is in according with his commandment. Oh, Lord, what a peace you give your people. What a confidence, what a hope, what a rest. And Lord, in the light of that, I just pray that we might go forth in faith, that we might go forth in obedience. Lord, that by your grace we might do the thus saith the Lord of Scripture. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints in this your assembly. Lord, for the encouragement we draw one from another. I pray, Lord, your hand upon us in the coming week. Thank Lord, of Brother Dale and Brother Hal as they make their rounds, that you keep them safe and healthy. Particularly be with Brother Dale and the weather that he faces. Pray you be with Brother Pruffle and his his lungs, continuing health issues. And Lord, we thank you that he's been feeling well of late. Lord, we pray you be with all of us as we seek to minister to family, to friends. Lord, I thank you for my dear wife. Lord, I know that it's your grace that brought me such a one. And I just pray that you might help us to continue on together and to walk in your ways. Lord, we pray for our brothers in the ministry. Lord, for our loved ones. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, for what you've accomplished, and for what you're yet to do. And we pray in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.